And Lord God, we thank you that we yet have another day. We thank you. And we're looking forward, God, to for this year, and praying that you will be with us, praying that you will grant us grace so that we will be able to live through this year, Lord God, our families and our loved ones. We're asking you for your mercy. But beyond that, we ask for your grace, which you give to us freely. And as we come here today, Lord, we come to worship you. So speak a word now for us, as you already spoken through the music and through the scriptures, Lord God. Speak a word to our hearts. And take hold of me, the preacher, and put me on a submission to your holy will. And let the words of our mouths and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord God, our Redeemer, and our Savior, and our Lord. Amen. And so today, friends, we are on the first day, the second day of the new year, and my sermon title today is A Change of Plan. A change of plan. You know, the New Year's is always a good time to have a change of plan, isn't it? Always a good time to have a change of plan. Or maybe not. Or maybe not. And I don't mean like a resolution, a New Year's resolution, because those things don't seem to hold up. And so let me begin with this reflection. And it's titled, Cal Thomas Describes His Journey of Faith. Describing how he became a Christian columnist. How he became a Christian columnist, Cal Thomas says, I had gone to a building called church, but it didn't mean anything to me. We never read the Bible at home. It was a cultural thing. I had accepted Christ at age 12, but it lay dormant in my life because I didn't feed my faith, saying that he had no relationship with God. At 16, I was a DJ at a local rock and roll radio station. I had my own show from 7 in the morning till noon on Sunday. It helped me rationalize not going to church. And Lord knows how many people we know who can rationalize never going to church. They could do everything else but go to church. I started to work for NBC in 1961 as a copy boy in Washington. I had moved up and I had this plan of where I would be at age 30. But at 27, I wasn't advancing as I thought I should be. I felt like I was in a basement, no direction. In 1971, my wife, Ray, and I were feeling a lot of emptiness. You know that you could have everything and still be empty in your soul. So we started to go to church. Someone recommended Ford Presbyterian, pastored by Richard Halverson. We loved it and started attending, but I was still trying to have it all and not succeeding. I was working 6 or 7 days a week. The culture tells us that if we achieve this or make this or buy this, then we will get the American dream and be happy. On a Friday, 1973, my boss at NBC said, got a minute? I got fired because of my ego, big mouth, and jealousy of some now dead people. That was part of the trembling struggle toward the glory of Christ. God was holding me back for my sake. My wife said, You will never be free of the burden of success if you don't thank God for losing your job. In tears, I recommitted my life to Christ that night, and that led to 11 years in the wilderness. You know, because Christ will bring you to a place and then keep you there for a while. Then he goes on, he says, I went to KPRC-TV in Houston. Coming from D.C., it was like a tailspin into the wilderness. But God had a plan. Outwardly, my change could be seen in me learning not to blaspheme and to do all those things that would show, but I was still needed work. God had a plan. And then he goes on to talk about, it's a much longer piece, about the plan of God. God would change his life, and ultimately he became a Christian columnist. God will do that. God will come. It's not always when things get changed that it is the enemy, it is Satan. There are times when God will change our life because God has a plan for our lives. Today's text, the gospel text we heard, the Magi and the star. It says the Magi, the wise men, were from modern-day Iraq. They knew the stars better than the backs of their hands. In the inky black Mesopotamian nights, they had mapped the stars, planets, and comets. That's a part of the world they were from. They had tracked the almost imperceptible trails for generations. They knew the characteristic of the stories of the constellations. Not only were they astronomers, they were astrologers. They believed the great God had diagrammed the grand workings of history in the stars. To study the stars was to peer into the dark future. There was a large Jewish population in their area, and the Magi were very familiar with the prophecies of the Old Testament, like Balaam, Daniel, and others, that a Messiah would come, that a king would come. The Magi was something astounding. Was it a bright confluence of planets, a supernova, a comet? Biblical scholars says this was the great Christ comet. The Magi saw a star of some kind that so clearly signaled to them the birth of the King of the Jews, and they traveled some 900 miles just to bow before him. Folks think that the Magi was living next door to Jesus in Bethlehem. No, if you look at your map now, Mesopotamia is where Turkey is. That old era, Iraq, Turkey, and all of that was the old Mesopotamia, when you study the Bible. And we know Bethlehem is in Israel. So you could see the distance, right? You could see the distance from Turkey to Bethlehem in Israel on your map, and they were not flying on an airplane, right? But they were following 900 miles to get to this star. And they said, the Magi, we have seen this star. So it took them about a year, some writer says. It didn't happen the day Jesus was born. You know, sometimes when we read the story, we've got to read the historical context. Jesus wasn't born and the Magi turned up the next day. We say that in the story for the children and so on. And the Bible leaves pieces out because the length of time is not that important to the biblical story. And they said, we've seen this star. It wasn't only a guiding star, but a signal star, announcing the birth of Israel's long-awaited son of David. Only the great God could announce this king in the stars. And now the Magi have seen the star, and the Magi would make a mistake. It says in the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, the wise men from the east came to Jerusalem because they had observed a star. And they said it, and they wanted to know, and they went to what? To Herod, right? The wise men went to Herod. Now, here's the mistake. Herod was a Jewish king, and any other king would be what? A challenge to him. And when King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him, calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And then what did Herod do? Secretly, he called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. And then he sent them saying, go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring him back to me. Right? Tell me where he is. But the Bible tells us that while they were there, when they found the star and found Jesus, it says in verse 12, and having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left on their own for their own country on another road. There was a change of plan. God would make a change of plan in their lives, like God will make change of plans in our lives. As we start the new year, I am praying, Lord, what change of plan do you have for me? I'm praying that it's going to be good, Lord God. What change of plan? First slide, Doc, thank you. Four truths to remember when God changes your plan. When God changes your plan, because God will change our plan. First point, God is sovereign, as I said on New Year's Eve. God is sovereign. Sovereignty is the authority to rule. There are no limits to God's rule. Nothing is outside of God's control. Our lives, our personal lives, our personal situation, the life of the church, the life of the nation, nothing is outside of God's control. And so I give you a scripture, Proverbs 16:9, the human mind plans the way, but the Lord directs the steps. Do you know that? We human mind plans the way, but the Lord directs the steps. And I smile about this as I say something light on this. When I first came to this church 9 years ago, I wanted to get overhead right away. But it wasn't God's plan to do it right away. The church wasn't ready then. And the people who were here were not ready. And I wanted it to be done. And I could see the hand of God that it would not have been done till 2021. If you had told me that it would take that long, I would never have believed it. But human mind wants one thing and God directs the way. How many times did I pray on my knee? God, how are we going to turn this around? I am still praying for this church to be filled of people all the time, and then COVID has come. But I'm still trusting God, right? God directs the path. And I see it truly in my life. And guess how we change the plan? All the other things that I didn't think that was going to be done in this church, like to get the new ramp, the elevator, the lift, and to do the back. All of those things I didn't initially think about. I didn't even know they had a ramp. But God would direct me to those things and then ultimately do this. The hand of God. Human mind plans the way, but the Lord directs the path. Number two, God is good. When God created, God made everything good. We see that in Genesis. When God created humanity, he says, it is good. If what God says and does is good, it is because God is good. God is good. Next slide. When we trust God, we can trust God not only because God knows and made everything, but because God is good. And so we read in Psalm 34:8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in him. No matter what we're going through, friends, let's be reminded, as David says when he went through all his problems, he says, oh, taste and see. Taste and see, friends, that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in him. And the third point, God is working it out for your good and for my good. God loves us. God loves you. God doesn't have ulterior motives or an hidden agenda. God is making us more and more like Jesus, God's perfect son. God has no ultimate ulterior motive to hurt us. What could be better for you and me? Everything God does is preparing you for eternity with him. Everything God does is bringing glory to him, which is always good for you and good for me. It might not always feel good, but that doesn't mean it's not good. And Romans 8:28 tells us, we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. Everything, even the problems we go through, everything works together for good to those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. I think back sometimes that things happen, and I was thinking today, during the Christmas season, that my brother who passed, and I tell you, God has worked through that, and my sister and I, my younger sister, has gotten so much closer because of that. I mean, we're always close, but now we're almost twins because we lost our brother. Talk together each day. I'm not a big, calling the family all the time. Even yesterday, they came out here and brought dinner for me and so on. God has used that to bring us together and my daughter and bring us together so much closer. Right? Would I have preferred him being here? Yes. But God has worked it out for good. Thanks be to God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. And the fourth point, we are not God. And how true that is. You and I are not sovereign, no matter how much we want to be. We don't have ultimate knowledge or control. We can't be good enough on our own. This leads us to not always pursue what's best for us. We always don't do what is best for us. If our hearts apart from Christ or turn towards evil, and we don't know everything, we can't possibly always pursue what is good for us, even if we think it is. We don't always do what is best for us and best for our loved ones, because we are not sovereign and we are not God. And so my final scripture here says, and this comes from Jeremiah 29:11-14, and this is a scripture for all of us on this New Year's Day. For I know the plans I have for you. Isn't this beautiful? Says the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not to harm. And not for your harm. To give you a future with hope. Then when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me if you seek me with all of your heart. I will let you find me, says the Lord. Friends, online and here, God has plans for us. And every time I get weary, or something doesn't happen the way I want it to happen, and I know it from the King James, I always say, Lord, for I know your plans for me, for I know the plans you have for me, Lord God. Plans to prosper me, the King James says, and not to harm me. I know, Lord God, your plans for me. But here's what the Lord is telling us here now, that we should come to him and seek him with all of our heart and pray to him, and then he will direct our path. For the Lord has plans for us. All of us here in this church now and online, the Lord has plans for us. Amen? Amen. Plans, and plans for our children, plans for our grandchildren. We always don't see it. When things does not come out the way we want it, just remember that the Lord has plans to prosper us and not to harm us. And sometimes we want something so badly and it's not right for us. Or we want something so badly for our child and it's not right for them. Amen? And so therefore, friends, we can do as the psalmist says, arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon us. Our light has come. That's what Epiphany reminds us. Jesus Christ has come. God had promised him and he came. And it's the same God who is going to take care of us. For he has plans for you and for me. And God has plans for this church. And I told you this story today. And that's the full manifestation that whatever God has, the plans God has for this church, will come into fulfillment and manifestation if we continue to pray to him, to seek him, and to do his will. Whether I'm here or not, no matter who is here, whatever plans God has, if that is going to be a pastor or a leader or people who would pray to God and seek God, and the only one who could deter or delay are the plans God has for here is us. We. Because God is not a man that he should lie. So I pray for the plans of this church. I've seen God manifest it. Oh, glory to God, that at the end of 2020, we're able to do all this, not even knowing where the money was coming from, still trying to figure it all out, but we went out by faith and had to take money from some place that we ought not to, but we did to do this, because we walk by faith and not by sight. Thanks be to God. Amen?
Amen?
And so we'll be able to do our ministry to the church. I'm now praying for God to free up our house over there that we're having so much problems with, that we will be able to do our outreach ministry. And I believe God. I believe God that this God who would take nothing, Susan, nothing, we had nothing to get this done, Doc. We had nothing. But God would make a way out of no way. He's a way maker. He's a way maker. Our God is a way maker. And when you trust him, he'll work it out for our good. Amen.
Amen.